And you
looking at gas pipeline safety.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiatakis. California regulators have ordered Pacific Gas and Electric to survey all its natural gas pipelines. That's after that awful scene last week in suburban San Francisco when one of the utility's pipelines exploded, killing at least four people. But it's not the first case of old exploding pipelines. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is with us live from our studio in Washington with more. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Steve.
So this wasn't the first time that this happened, right?
Well, exactly. And part of the problem is, as you mentioned, these are old pipelines we're talking about. The one that exploded outside San Francisco was 54 years old. Now, utilities are responsible for maintaining these pipelines. They're supposed to do regular inspections. I talked to Scott Anderson of the Environmental Defense Fund about this. He's their point person on natural gas production issues. And he says the utilities are good about inspecting the biggest pipelines that bring the gas from the fields to the cities, but it's hard for them to keep track of the miles and miles of small lines.
And once you get to the city gate, of course, there needs to be a little pipe going to every individual consumer. So the distribution network, although the pipes are small, tends to have a very large number of miles.
And this isn't just a problem in California. The Department of Transportation here in Washington says there are an average of six serious incidents a year involving gas pipelines in which people are killed or injured.
So what can we do to prevent more of these, Nancy?
Well, Anderson says we need to invest more in our national infrastructure and replace some of these old pipes, or at least inspect them more often. And Steve, you and I as consumers need to be vigilant. If you smell natural gas and your stove is off, call your utility and ask them to come check things out. In fact, Anderson had to do that himself when he smelled natural gas in his front yard. Turns out there was a leak in the natural gas line leading to his house. He called the utility and it was replaced.
Big red flag. All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joining us from Washington. Nancy, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now, anywhere from 0.5% to 1.5%. The Dow now up 63 points at 10,525. European shares right now are higher by about 1%, helped along by a European Commission report that says growth there will be solid this year. On a trade mission to China last weekend, California's Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger laid out a proposal for the Chinese to invest money into high-speed rail. The Golden State's $19 billion in the red, and the governor's looking for investments. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports the Chinese might be the best choice out there.
From Anchorage, Alaska to New York City, that's the length of China's high-speed rail network. It's the longest system in the world, and the country plans to double its size by 2020. John Scales is the World Bank's transport coordinator in China.
If China was able to take the knowledge and experience they have at building and developing railways and effectively use that knowledge elsewhere, I think that it would be beneficial to whatever country they were to work with.
European and Japanese companies have traditionally dominated the $155 billion global market for building railways. Watch out for China. Chinese companies are building high-speed rail projects from Saudi Arabia to Turkey to Venezuela. Is California next? First, the cash-strapped state needs to come up with the money. Once that's in place, the Chinese will want to make sure they get a better reception than the last time they came to the U.S. to build railroads 150 years ago. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves. By Constant Contact Event Marketing, working to help small businesses and nonprofits make their events easier with event registration and marketing tools. ConstantContact.com. And by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
Fashion Week in New York City, and later today, Donna Karan and Perry Ellis will introduce new collections, and eco-friendly designers will kick off their own fashion show. So we asked Marketplace's Adrian Hill to talk a little bit about fashion that's better for the environment. Hi, Adrian.
Good morning.
So help me out here. What is sustainable fashion?
Well, it's a lot of things depending on who's defining it. Everything from clothes made from organic cotton and natural dyes to clothes made from fair trade fabric and the ultimate in environmental friendliness, vintage or hand-me-downs. Some of it's really good for the environment and the people who make the clothes, and a lot of it's just greenwashing.
And what's the market for this type of clothing?
Well, more and more products and fashion lines calling themselves eco-friendly and sustainable are putting products out there. So designers and producers seem to think the interest is there. Companies are lining up big-name stars like Emma Watson to help push the lines. But the real question is whether or not people are going to buy them.
And will they?
That's tough to say. Yeah. I talked to an analyst who told me that consumers are interested in eco-friendly and socially responsible clothing, but they really don't want to pay much of a premium for them. And that'll be tough, considering how cheap the clothes we buy at Target and H&M are. It can be more expensive to make eco-socially friendly garments if you're paying people a fair trade wage or using cotton that costs more to grow. And in other cases, retailers might just be jacking up the prices because they think they can get away with it. I did find a study that said retail sales of clothing and home products made from organic cotton was up to over $4 billion last year, which is a 35% jump from the year prior.
You know, Adrian, I don't want to sound totally like a jerk here, but are any of these clothes, I mean, actually good looking? Do they look like, you know, I don't know. I think of like burlap or something like that, that there's got to be some sort of eco-fashion look.
With tree bark from all that tree hugging. Like,
yeah, exactly.
On it. Yeah. No, some of them I think are pretty fashionable. It's not just T-shirts and jeans or burlap that you... But the stereotype is a hurdle for the industry. But I'll let you judge for yourself. I put up a slideshow on our website, marketplace.org.
All right, we'll go there and check it out. Marketplace's Adrian Hill joining us here in the studio. Adrian, thanks.
Thank you.
And finally, for so long, the pub has been a place to forget the ills of the world. In Berlin, Germany, though, one bar is tackling at least one problem head on. Most of the patrons of this tavern are unemployed and collect government benefits. So every Friday between 2 and 5, social workers set up inside the bar give advice to regulars on how to get a job. Now, we commend the bar owners for their moxie. A lot of pubs help people fall down, but this one actually gets people right back up on their feet. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.